All right. All those going to Children's Church, follow Mrs. Reese, if you would please. And if you need a Bible, raise your hand and just take it and open to the Gospel of John in John chapter 15. If you don't have a Bible with you this morning, you're going to need one, so just raise your hand if you would please. Ushers will bring you a copy of the Word of God. Yeah, just keep your hand up. These guys will bring you a copy all the way up to the front row here, guys, if you would please. John chapter 15, if you need a Bible, just keep your hand up until ushers get one to you, because we want you to be able to see right for yourself what the Word of God has to say. And go with me to John chapter 15. If you're using one of our Bibles this morning, page 1137, if you would please, the Gospel of John in John chapter 15, 1137, if you're using one of our Bibles this morning. Looks to me like the guys need a little help at the youth choir here. Looks like they were a little outnumbered by the girls this morning. How about that, huh? So some of you young men need to say, hey, man, I'll get there on Wednesday night and get in there on that thing. John chapter 15, we continue our study in John's Gospel this morning. We've been studying it for some months now, and we'll continue to do so until we come to the very conclusion, the very end of it. I think most of us here this morning probably recognize or realize and understand that Jesus has really been a friend to us. How many of you understand that? Jesus has been a friend to you. Do you understand that? Do you realize that? Well, this morning we're looking in a passage of Scripture that's going to teach us about how we can be a friend to Jesus. We know He's been a friend to us. Now, how can we be a friend to the Lord Jesus Christ? And that's what we're going to be thinking about as we look in this particular passage of Scripture. We like to stand for our Scripture reading, so if you're physically able to do so, go ahead and stand with me. We'll begin in verse 9, and you just follow in your Bibles, if you would, please. John chapter 15, starting in verse 9, it says, "As the Father," this is Jesus speaking, he says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends," Jesus said, "if you do whatsoever I command you." Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, and we pray, Lord, that you would work in our hearts and lives to enlighten the Scripture. Father, none of us can understand the Word of God without the Holy Spirit's illumination. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us this morning to be yielded to your Spirit, and, Lord, allow Him to teach us exactly what you want to say to our hearts. I do pray, Father, if there's anyone here today that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, that they would come by faith to accept Him today. And for those of us that know Christ, Lord, help us to learn what it means to be a friend of Jesus. Not just learn, but, Lord, to determine that we're going to leave here a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us here this morning and work in our hearts and lives, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, as we come back to our study in John's Gospel, please understand and recognize that Jesus and His disciples have left the upper room. When you come down to John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, these are the last words that Jesus is speaking with His disciples on the very night that He's going to be betrayed by Judas. He's been in an upper room having the Last Supper with His disciples, teaching them and speaking to them about a number of issues. But when you come to chapter 15, they have left the upper room. They're walking together and making their way out to the Garden of Gethsemane, which would be out on the Mount of Olives. And as they are making their way out to the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus continues speaking to His disciples and teaching His disciples. And here it's pretty amazing to me that on the night that Jesus would be betrayed, I mean, we're just minutes away from Judas coming and betraying the Lord Jesus Christ, that on his heart and his mind, he would want to speak to his disciples about their friendship toward him. This is how you can be my friend. And this morning, we're just going to walk our way through this passage of Scripture and think about becoming a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ. We begin this morning in verse 9, and as we look in verse 9, it speaks about the Lord's love toward His disciples. Notice He says in verse 9, He says, "As my Father hath loved me. Now get this, please. As my Father hath loved me, Jesus says, so, notice this, so have I what? Loved you. And then he says, continue you in my love. I want to think about the first expression in the verse first. As my Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. You know, God the Father never stopped loving his Son. God the Father, we can say, loved his Son with what I'm going to term this morning a committed love. And the Lord Jesus Christ loves you and I in the same way that the Father loved him. It is a committed love, meaning that there's no way on the face of the earth that we can measure the amount of love that the Lord Jesus Christ has toward us. It is a love that never ends. It is a love that is unceasing. It's a love that is eternal in its duration. And it's a love that I want to express this morning in a number of different terms or a number of different ways. First of all, I want you to realize this morning that the love that Jesus Christ has toward you, the love that Jesus has toward you, was a love that was great enough to compel him to leave heaven behind. Now you have to stop to think about that. Heaven's a wonderful place. The Bible says that heaven's street is paved with gold. We've never seen a place like that. There's no pain, there's no sorrow, there's no heartache. There's nothing like we encounter on the face of the earth. And there up in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ received was his rightful place of honor as he was seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And Jesus loved you and I so much that he was willing to leave heaven behind and come to this earth in the form of a man in a human body. He loved us that much. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Philippians, if you would please. Philippians chapter 2. You want to hold your place in John's Gospel. We'll come back. But go with me to your right to Philippians chapter 2, page 1258. You see, Jesus says, hey, I love you. I love you just as much as the Father has loved me. It's a committed love, a love that was willing to leave behind heaven's glories, come to this earth in the form of a man. Pretty amazing thing. Philippians chapter 2, page 1258. Philippians chapter 2. Do you have it, Chauncey? Philippians chapter 2. You got it? All right. Philippians chapter 2. I want you to see this. In Philippians chapter 2, notice if you would please, in Philippians chapter 2, in verse 5, the Bible says this. In Philippians chapter 2, in verse 5, the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with who? With God. Now, he didn't think that robbery because he was God. He was God. Jesus was God in heaven. And notice it says in verse 7 that although he was God in heaven, he made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a what? Servant. Now, at the end of verse 7 it says, and he was made in the likeness of man. Here we have God himself leaving heaven behind, coming down to this earth, and being found in fashion or made in the likeness of a man. He's taking upon himself a human body. And why did he do it? Because he loves us. He loves us. He loves us that much. He loves us that much to leave behind heaven's glories, to come to this earth in the form of a man. Well, not only does he love us enough to leave behind heaven and come to this earth in the form of a man. Now understand that Jesus was a unique man because he never ceased being God, but at the same time, he was also man. He was the God-man. So everybody follow me on this? He was God, but he's also what? Man. And in his flesh, his body and his humanity was no different than our body. It needed to sleep. It needed to eat. In his body, he wept. In his body, he rejoiced. You see, Jesus' body was no different than our body, but it was God inside that body. We've got a God-man here on the face of the earth. Not only was his love so great that he would leave behind heaven's glories and come to this earth, but his love was so great that as a God-man, he would lay down his life in sacrifice for our sins. That's love. He would lay down his life in sacrifice for our sins. Notice, if you would please, in verse 8. The Bible says, and being found in fashion as a what? Stay in your Bibles now and look at it, please. Being found in fashion as a what? Notice it says, he humbled himself and became obedient unto what? Death. Now, let's see the kind of death that he died. It says, even the death of the what? Of the cross. Now, you think about that phrase, the death of the cross. Can you say that with me one time? The death of the cross. One more time. The death of the cross. That tells us the kind of death that Jesus was willing to give himself to. It wasn't an easy death. Someone was speaking to me this week and said, I'm not afraid to die. I just don't want to hurt while I'm doing it. We don't get that choice, do we? We'd like to die an easy way. What I want to say here this morning, Jesus had no easy way to die. And talk about hurt. He went through greater pain than you and I will ever experience in all of our lives. That is not to negate that some of us probably will come down with some disease that will inflict tremendous pain in our bodies. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ suffered more intensely and more intent than any of us will ever suffer in this life. He not only suffered an intense physical pain, he suffered the wrath of his Father up in heaven as the sin of the world was laid upon him. And he cries out from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Father turned his back on the Son and allowed the wrath of Almighty God for the sin of us to come down upon his Son. If you think about the greatest spanking you've ever had in your life, some of you don't know what that is. But I grew up in a home where they gave me a pat on the back, often hard and low. Woo! You guys know what a spanking is? Just checking you out. You think about the greatest spanking you ever had in your life. It compares nothing to what Jesus had to go through. And Jesus was doing it, the death of the cross. Jesus was doing it for your sin and my sin. Sin cost Jesus his life. The death of the cross. One of the most cruel ways of dying. Painful, agonizing. And yet it wasn't just physical suffering. The wrath of the holy God against our sin. We deserve that. We deserve that punishment. But Jesus, because he loves us, died in our place. The Bible expresses it like this: he who knew no sin was made sin for us. Are you familiar with that verse? Let's take a look at it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, to your left. Don't lose John's Gospel now. We'll come back there. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, page 1233. If you're using one of our Bibles, page 1233. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, notice if you would please, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, what a verse this is. And if you don't have it marked in your Bibles, this is one that you certainly need to mark. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, notice what it tells us in verse 21. The Bible says, for he, referring to God the Father, hath made him, Jesus, his Son. Now get this, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him, look at this now, to be what? Sin for who? For us. And why could Jesus be sin for us? The verse says, who knew no what? He's God who came down in human form, who never committed a sin while he was here on the face of the earth. He never lied. He never stole. He never disobeyed his parents. He always did what was right. And then he went to a cross and died in our place. He who knew no sin was made sin for us. Notice the verse goes on to say this, that we might be made the righteousness of God, where? In him. By the way, let me say here this morning, the only answer for your sin and my sin before a holy God is righteousness. Sometimes we think that we're going to earn our way to heaven. I'll be good, and I'll go to church, and I'll get baptized, and I'll start doing right. I promise God I won't do these things any longer, and I'll change my life, and I'll obey God's laws, commands, and thinking that that's what's going to get us to heaven. My friend, the only thing that will get you to heaven is righteousness. And the Bible says that our righteousness is nothing but a filthy rag. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6. We are all as an unclean thing. And our righteousness is as filthy rags. You want to stand before God one day and have God say, well, why should I let you into heaven? And you stand there and say, well, God, I went to Victory Bible Baptist Church. That ought to earn me some brownie points. You know what God would say to that? That's a filthy rag. That's a filthy rag. Well, you know, I didn't rob a bank and I didn't kill anybody. I was a good person. You know what God would say? That was what? Filthy rag. Well, God, I got baptized. Listen, if you depend upon your baptism to get to heaven, it's nothing but a filthy what? Rag. You know what we need? We need the righteousness of God. Where is it found? According to the verse. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Where? In Christ. You see, Christ's love for us is so great that he was willing to die for us, and he wants to forgive us and make us his child and give us a home up in heaven. Look over in the book of Acts to your left once again. Acts chapter 13. The book of Acts in Acts chapter 13. We're just trying to explain a little bit about his love this morning, his love towards you. Page 1167 in Acts chapter 13. His love was toward us was willing to leave behind heaven's glories, come to this earth in the form of man. His love was so great that as a God-man, he would lay down his life and sacrifice for our sins. His love is so great that he is willing to forgive us of our sin, bring us into his family, and make us his child. In the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 13, notice in verse 23, if you would please, page 1167. Acts chapter 13, notice in verse 23, it says, of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a what? A Savior. And then notice it tells us who the Savior is. What's his name? Jesus. Can you say it one time? Jesus. The Savior is who? Jesus. Now think about that. God, through David's seed, has raised unto Israel a Savior. His name is what? Jesus. Keep that thought in your mind and look in verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, in verse 38, what man? Jesus. Through this man, Jesus, who's the Savior, notice it says, is preached unto you, look at it now, the what? Forgiveness of sins. God doesn't have to punish you for your sin. Christ took the punishment. He wants to provide righteousness for you, that you might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He wants to forgive you. Through this man, Jesus, the Savior, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Verse 39 goes on to tell us how we can have that forgiveness of sins. It says, and by Him, all that behave. Is that what it says? It doesn't say that, does it? Look in your Bibles. Notice it says, and by Him all that are baptized. Doesn't say that, does it? It says, and by Him all that what? God, I'm going to believe on your Son Jesus, what He did on the cross, and that alone to save me from my sin. And when we come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross, the Bible says that we're justified from all things from which we could not be justified by the law of Moses. That means that Jesus Christ takes us and wipes our slate clean. He forgives us and gives us a home in heaven. It's a love that's willing to forgive us of our sin. It's a love that once He forgives us, once we're forgiven, it'll never desert us. He'll never walk away from us. Look over in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. You see, this morning we're thinking about a committed love. Jesus said to his disciples, "Hey, I've loved you as my Father has loved me." The Father loved the Son with a committed love, and Jesus loves us with a committed love. The book of Romans to your right, in Romans chapter 8, page 1202, in Romans chapter 8, listen, once we come to believe on Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins, here's a love that's never going to go away from us. He'll never desert us. He'll never forsake us. And in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 35, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 35, the Scripture says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?" The things you go through in life, they will never separate you from the Lord's love. And it doesn't matter how bad it is. They'll never separate you. He says in verse 36, "As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long, we're counted as sheep for the slaughter." Remember, those early first century Christians were persecuted Christians. They were losing their lives for the cause of Christ, and some of them may have wondered and questioned, "Does the Lord love me? I'm suffering so great." And the answer to that is what? Yes. Verse 37, "Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors. We're conquerors through Him," through Christ. Now get it. "Through Him that," what? "Loved us." Conquerors through Christ who loved us. We are more than conquerors through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I like this persuasion in verse 38. "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, not even myself." Well, it doesn't say that, but I am a creature. Right? Look what it says. "Shall be" what? "Able to separate us from the love of God," which is where? "In Christ Jesus our Lord." How much does Jesus love you? It's a committed love. He loves you just as much as the Father loved Him. Now let's go back to John chapter 15. Let's go all the way back to John chapter 15. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to the end. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. What a beautiful expression of God's love for us. Jesus loves us just as much as the Father loved Him. Going back to John's Gospel in John chapter 15, we're in verse 9. He says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you." Now look at the admonition at the end of the verse. At the end of the verse, he says, "Continue ye in my" what? "Love." So now we've got an admonition. That means something that we are supposed to do. This is how much I love you. Now keep yourself in my love. Keep yourself in my love. Continue in my love. Abide in my love. You see, that word "continue" means all those things. In fact, in verse 10, where it says, "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love," the word "abide" there is the same word that's translated "continue" in verse 9. Continue in my love. Abide in my love. Keep yourself in my love. Don't drift away from my love. Don't get yourself out of my love. Don't grow cold and distance yourselves and fall away from my love. We've got an instruction. So verse 9 is letting it be known that Jesus was a committed friend to his disciples. How do we know that? I've loved you just as much as the Father's what? Loved me. Have I been a committed friend to you, disciples? Sure have. Not going to cease. What's he about ready to challenge them to be? Committed friends to him. He's been a committed friend. Now, hey guys, I want you to learn how to be my friend. And I want you to learn how to be a committed friend. That's where he's headed. Now, the natural question comes along in verse 10. You stop and ask yourself, the natural question comes, well, if we're to continue in the Lord's love, how do we do it? He says, "Continue you in my love," does he not? Well, how do I do that? Verse 10 has the answer. Verse 10 says, "If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my" what? "Love." So how do we continue in the Lord's love? Well, the Bible says by keeping His what? Commandments. He says, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His what? Love. Obedience was nothing new with the Lord Jesus Christ. He had been obedient to His Father. He kept Himself in His Father's love. And now Jesus is saying to His disciples, hey, listen, you keep my commandments and you'll keep yourself in my love. It's not hard. It's not hard. Just think about what the passage is saying. And certainly, once you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, once you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from your sin, He has brought you into His family. You're a child of God. You know that He's not going to kick you out. He's never going to lose you. Once you come to that place in your life, then obedience to the Lord then ought to become very important to you. It's sort of like saying, okay, Lord, I'm saved now. I've trusted Your Son as Savior. I believed on Jesus. What do You want me to do now? Or you might use the word, what's next? And you know, we can sum that up with the word obedience. Remember the little chorus, obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Doing exactly what the Lord commands, doing it happily. Action is the key, do it immediately. Joy you will receive. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. O-B-E-D-I-E-N-C-E. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Somebody got that? See, just the natural flowing of coming to believe on Christ as Savior, just a natural outflow of saying, God's forgiven me. I'm His child. I'm in His family. Okay, Lord, what's next? What do you want me to do? And the answer is, obey me. Obey me. And we obey the Lord first by getting baptized. And we don't get baptized to get saved. We get baptized to tell others that we've gotten saved. Somebody understand that? It's an expression of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. A testimony that we've come to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. So obedience involves following the Lord in believer's baptism. Obedience involves becoming a member of a local Bible-believing, gospel-preaching, New Testament church like this one. Obedience involves just becoming the best Christian I can be. Lord, whatever You want me to do, whatever You want me to be, that's what I want to do. There are two things that must prevail in anyone's heart if they're going to find themselves obedient to God. And if you want to find yourself obedient to God, you're a child of God, and you want to find yourself obedient to God, there's two things that have to prevail in your heart. Number one, you have to really want to please God. You have to really want to please God. Now, we get this from Jesus' example. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. You got to want to really please God. To want to really please God. And in John chapter 8, look what it was said of the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, Jesus said this. In John chapter 8 and verse 29, and He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. Jesus is speaking here. Now look what He says at the end of the verse. For I do always those things that what? Please Him. What kind of heart did Jesus have toward the Father? He wanted to please Him. And none of us are going to be obedient to the God that saved us until we have a heart that wants to please. Not only do we have to have a heart that wants to please, we have to have a heart that is willing to surrender our will to His will. Those two things will never succeed in this life of obedience until we get a hold of the fact that I want to please the Lord, and what's important to me in life is pleasing God. And I'm willing to surrender my will to His will. My will be His will. See, that's Jesus' life. Look over in John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Rebels don't obey. Self-willed people don't obey. Yielded people obey. And in John chapter 6, notice what the Bible says. Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse 38, He says, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that what? Sent me. Jesus is on His way to the Garden of Gethsemane. in the Garden of Gethsemane, he will fall on his knees and he will pray an agonizing prayer to the Father up in heaven. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And yet he'll qualify that statement by saying, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. If we're going to obey the Lord, we've got to develop a heart that wants to please God, and we've got to learn to be yielded to the will of God. Yielded to the will of God. Rebels don't obey. Self-willed people don't obey. Yielded people obey. Going back to John chapter 15, moving right through the text this morning, we're thinking about how to become a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10 is extremely clear. We abide in our Lord's love when we keep His commandments. You see, Jesus begins by saying, I've loved you with a committed love. Just as the Father loved me, I have loved you. Now continue you in my love. Well, how do we do that? Verse 10, keep His commandments. If we keep His commandments, we'll abide in His love, even as He has kept His Father's commandment and abide in His love. Now, verse 11. Verse 11 is an expression of our Lord's desire that we become joyful Christians. I like the little song that the youth choir sang for us this morning about joy. Fits right in with the message this morning. Fits right in with what Jesus was saying. And notice in verse 11 it says, these things have I spoken unto you, that your life would be miserable. Sometimes, you know, people, the devil convinces Christians that if they obey the Lord, their life's going to be miserable. Truth of the matter is, disobeying God's what brings misery. There's no such thing as a happy, disobedient child. He says, these things have I spoken to you, that my joy right might remain in you. And he says that your joy might be what? Full. The Lord wants us to experience fullness of joy in our lives. And how are we going to get it? Through obeying the Lord. Through obeying the Lord. There is no such thing as a happy, disobedient child. Yes, we can choose the path of disobedience to God. And when we do, God is a perfect, loving Heavenly Father, is obligated to bring correction into our lives, just as earthly parents bring correction into their children's lives. But when God corrects us, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, it's not a joyous thing. It's not a joyous thing. Yet nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who are exercised thereby. All I'm saying is, we look in verse 11, God desires our lives to be full of joy. But in order to get it, we must keep ourselves in the Lord's love. And to keep ourselves in the Lord's love, we must obey His commandments. If we're not obeying His commandments, we're not keeping ourselves in the Lord's love, and we're not going to have fullness of joy in our lives. By the way, let me just say this. The things that so many people are turning to the world to try to find joy from will not bring you joy. You feed and feast on the world's wares, you'll soon find out there's no joy. There's no joy. God's people feasting at the table of the devil will not find joy in their lives. They will not find joy in their lives. Let us move on. Some of you are sitting out there and saying, okay, I've got to obey the Lord's commandments. Well, which ones? Which ones am I to obey? Well, verse 12, the Lord gets real specific. And in verse 12, He says, this is my commandment that ye, here we go, that ye what? Love one another as I have what? Loved you. He's speaking there about loving each other in the family of God. You see, He had given that new commandment back in chapter 13. Go back to chapter 13. Let's refresh our memory there. Jesus had given a new commandment to His followers in John chapter 13 in verses 34 and 35. Remember, He says, a new commandment I give unto you that you, here it is, that you what? Love one another. Can you say that with me? Love one another. And He says, I want you to love one another as I have loved you. That's a committed love. That you also love one another. He goes on to say, by this shall all men know that ye are my what? Disciples, if you have what? Love one toward another. You know, our world is big on trademarks, isn't it? Things that identify companies by, and what is it, Nike has that little swoosh. Is that right? Swoosh. I don't know what you call it. Swoosh. Right? Other companies have their logos. They want you to be able to identify them real quickly by that. Pepsi, I think they've got that circle that part of it's red and part of it's blue. Is that right? I'm not from the South. Pepsi's not a northern drink. Too much sugar in it. Is that right? Is that the logo? They want you to be able to identify them real readily, just like that. Just like that. By their logos. Well, that's Nike, or that's Pepsi, or I don't know, Coke's the real thing. Isn't that right? Real men drink Coke. I'm teasing, I don't drink either one of it. But you get my point. You get my illustration. And Jesus says, people ought to be able to look at your life and the love that you display toward others in the family of God and be able to say just like that, that person's a follower of Jesus Christ. That person's a follower of Jesus Christ. That person's a disciple of the Lord. See, that's our trademark. Our trademark is the love that we are to have toward our brothers and sisters in the Lord. That's what Jesus was saying in John chapter 15. Go back there if you would, please, and stay with me now. That's what Jesus was saying in John chapter 15. When he said in verse 12, this is my commandment. Now look at this, verse 12. This is my commandment that ye what? Love one another. Let's say it together. That ye what? Love one another. You look down at verse 17. In verse 17 of chapter 15, he says, these things I command you, that ye what? Love one another. And this commandment continues to flow throughout the rest of the Bible. Take your Bibles and just stay with me for a little bit. Let's turn quickly to the book of Romans, to your right. Romans chapter 13. We're going to move quickly now. Romans chapter 13, page 1207. And I want you to see how this command is brought out throughout the New Testament. In Romans chapter 13, 1207, just stay with me. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 8, notice what the Bible says. Owe no man anything but to love one another. So there it is. To love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Look over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, page 1269. Move quickly. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, once you get there, I want to look down at verse 12. I know I'm moving quickly, but I want you to move quickly with me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. If you can't keep up, just keep trying, all right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, you'll get it. You'll get the hang of it. Don't get discouraged. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12, look what the Bible says. And the Lord make you to increase and abound. Increase and abound in what? Love one toward who? Another. Then look in chapter 4. Chapter 4, the same book. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, if you haven't found it yet, look on with your neighbor. He'll share. He's a Christian. And he's learning about loving you. And you want to be able to identify him as a disciple. So just won't go on with your neighbor if you haven't found it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9. The Bible says, but as touching brotherly love, you have need not that I write unto you, for yourselves are taught of God. We're taught of who? We're not taught of the pastor. We're taught of who? God. And what are we taught of God? The Bible says we're taught of God to do what? To love one another. To love one another. Then take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn with me to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, still to your right. 1 Peter chapter 1. After the book of Hebrews, before the book of James, or after the book of James, excuse me. 1 Peter chapter 1, page 1312, 1312. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, notice if you would in verse 22. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, the Bible says, seeing you've purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and the unfeigned love of the brethren. Unfeigned love of the brethren. That means genuine love, not hypocritical love, but an unfeigned love of the brethren. Notice the Bible says, see that you love who? One another with a what? Pure heart fervently. See, the Bible takes this command that Jesus gave to love one another and just plays it out. And says, now this thing needs to be serious. You need to be serious about this idea of loving one another. Now understand, Jesus is saying this on his way to be betrayed. He's got an unfaithful friend coming to kiss him. He's talking to these guys about how to be a faithful friend. Keep my commandments. You want to know which ones? Well, how about loving one another? Why don't you start right there? Why don't you start with the command to love one another? Then look over in 1 John with me. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, page 1323, still to your right. 1 John chapter 3, 1323. And in 1 John chapter 3, verse 11, notice what it says. 1 John chapter 3, verse 11, it says, "For this is the message that you've heard from the beginning." It's not new. It's not new. By the time John wrote this in 1 John chapter 5, he says, "Man, you guys been hearing this from the get-go." I'm telling you again, what is it that we want? We should love one another. We should love one another. We should love one another. I want you to hold your place in 1 John. Go back with me to John 15. I hope you had your place there. We're going to flip back and forth between these two books just a moment. Back in John chapter 15, verse 12, once again, Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." John 15:12, read that out loud with me, please. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Then we come down to verse 13, and Jesus begins to define the type of love he's talking about with his disciples. He says, "Guys, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his" what? "Friends." So he tells us we're to love one another, and then begins to talk about the kind of love he's talking about. Laying down your life for your friends. Laying down your life for your friends. See, it's a love that's defined by your actions, not by your words. Everybody got it? It's a love defined by your what? Actions, not by your what? We all know that words can be cheap. We can say that we love someone, but betray those words by our actions. Judas certainly pretended to love the Lord, but he betrayed Jesus by his actions. And in 1 John chapter 3, look in your Bibles, please. Hold your place in John's Gospel. Look over in 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. And in 1 John chapter 3, in verse 18, the Bible says this. He says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue." But he says, hey, let's love in what? Deed and in what? Truth. Let's make it a reality in our lives. Let's not just make it a bunch of talk. Let's don't make it a lot of hot air. Let's put it into action. Let's put it into action. See, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the great love chapter, would tell us that love is kind. And love thinks no evil. And it defines terms in the terms of action. And you know, the old devil is always out to thwart God's plan. He's always out to throw a wrench in what God wants us to do. He's always out to try to rob us of the joy that Jesus wants to give us. And can I warn you this morning about the trap of coming together with your brothers and sisters in Christ and saying, "Man, these are the people I love," and then leaving here and tearing them down by your words, gossiping about one another, telling someone how terrible somebody is, or listening to someone tell you how terrible somebody is. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20 gives a challenge. And in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20, notice what the Bible says. "If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother," the Bible says he's a what? He's a liar. Notice what the Bible goes on to say here. "For he that loveth not his brother, whom he has seen, how in the world can he love God, whom he has not seen?" Let's go back real quickly to John chapter 15, a couple more things, and we'll be done here this morning. So Jesus is giving us a command to love, and that love he takes into the realm of actions. 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 Verse 13, once again, he says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his" what? His life for his what? Friends. What a profound statement. We show our love to others by how much we give and what we're willing to sacrifice. What we give, how much we're willing to sacrifice. Brother Chandler, you know what it means to be in the ministry. You know what it means to sacrifice and to give. If God's people could get a hold of that spirit of giving and sacrifice. Not just always look to the pastor and pastor wife and say, you're the ones that are supposed to give. You're the ones supposed to sacrifice. No, we're all supposed to give. We're all supposed to sacrifice. Because we're to love one another. We're to love one another as He has what? Loved us. Being committed friends to one another. Now when we come down to verse 14, it tells us how to be a friend of Jesus. Jesus says, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. There you go. You want to be Jesus' friend? I want to be His friend. And He tells me how. And when He looks down at my life and He sees my life, if He sees me doing what He's told me to do, He said, man, there's my friend. That guy's my friend. But if He looks down upon my life and I'm not doing what He's told me to do, He can't really consider me as a friend, can He? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. How many of you here this morning would say by way of uplifted hand, hey, I want to be a friend of Jesus. Would you say that? I want to be a friend of Jesus. I want to be Jesus' friend. He's been a friend to me, and He always will be. I want to be a friend. Well, let's be careful to obey the Lord. Let's bow together in prayer.